ప్రేమస్వరూపులారు,
ఎంబాడీమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. And I can never tire myself of saying this, because every day you are in Prashanthi, every day you are breathing this air, every day you feel the vibes of this place, every day it is like you are having Bhagwan's darshan in flesh and blood. That is how surcharged this place is. Just yesterday, May 26th, 2021, we celebrated Buddha Purnima. Even though there was no visible major celebration in Prashanthi Nilayam, but if you just walk around the ashram, if you just step into that lovely garden where Ganesha with his sprightly umbrella is there welcoming you, you soon see the serene face of Lord Buddha. In Puttaparthi, you don't need a celebration, because every day is a celebration, and every part of this sacred space on earth fills you with peace, fills you with that tranquility, gives you that spiritual high. As I was offering my pranams to the umbrella Ganesha yesterday, and my eyes fell on Lord Buddha, he was being so beautifully decorated with new clothes. There are so many such silent servitors of the Lord, unnoticed, unrecognized. They quietly take care of different little aspects of the ashram. Even before it is dawn, these people have finished their work. And so I saw there Lord Buddha sitting in his ever tranquil pose. And as I saw him, and as I reflected on what Bhagwan would often say, and how in these times the message of Lord Buddha that Bhagwan used to emphasize on is so relevant, so poignant. These are times where someone close dies, someone dear survives. But if we are unruffled, if we are undisturbed, then that's our Buddha moment. Someone near refuses to help, but someone unknown lends his shoulder, and we are neither pained nor thrilled. That, I feel, is our Buddha moment. someone very close hurts us deeply. Someone whom we have helped turns his back on us. Still, our heart only overflows with compassion. That is our Buddha moment. There is depression all around. There is chaos and suffering unabated. But we see only him. We see only him and his mercy. As we look around, we only see the unmistakable mystery of his creation. Everything happens because he has willed it. It is a part of his divine play. We recognize this. We realize this. We accept this. We surrender to this. That's our Buddha moment. We chant Om. Close our eyes. And all thoughts cease. Mind becomes a tranquil sea. That's our Buddha moment. We look at his form. And that's the magic of his form. All our desires fade. And our heart abounds with purity. Our hands cannot wait to reach out to serve humanity. That is our Buddha moment. And as you connect to Prashanti, as you connect to the sacred wipes of this divine hamlet, you are inspired, you are energized, you are empowered to experience more and more such Buddha moments. All of us want to lead a life wherein our actions are done with a mind that is wise, not otherwise. And the more we connect to Prashanti, the more we feel Prashanti wherever we are, the more we will experience these moments of serenity. And this stability will enable us to go through no matter what in life, but come out of it stronger, come out of it wiser, come out of it geared for a better life. If you look around, there are so many who are deriving inspiration, such inspiration from Prashanti. I know of so many former students of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning who have been working relentlessly to assuage the pain, the suffering, the trauma that so many brothers and sisters are going through. There are helplines, COVID helplines in Delhi, in West Bengal, in Mumbai, in Bhubaneswar, in Hyderabad, in Andhra Pradesh, in Bengaluru. It started in Bengaluru by Sai Krishna Charitable Trust, which is again a trust run by a former student of Bhagwan's University. And all the alumni joined. And today, whole day they are busy answering the calls, helping people to find beds, helping people to find oxygen, helping people to find medicines. There is elaborate arrangements to serve food to all the people who are recovering in their homes. There is service to provide them ambulance, teleconsultation. There are 2,000-3,000 calls every day, and these brothers and sisters from Bhagwan's institutions, so many sisters from the Anandpur campus are so busy serving food. Sisters from Hyderabad shared how the people who receive these prasadam, they say this is amritam for us. Thank you so much for giving us food in this crucial time. We are not able to cook because we are so weak and we cannot go out. We are all recovering. But every day you bring us such nutritious food, it is almost like God is coming and feeding us every single day. Shri Satya Sai Ahara Prasada. This was launched very recently to serve food to people across urban Bengaluru. Lunch and dinner are being served to all home quarantined COVID patients. And there are so many working behind the scenes. On one hand, you see the second wave of trauma, but you also see the second wave of ceaseless compassion. People who have just forgotten their professional lives, forgotten about their personal lives, and just day and night trying to help people in need. Where your relatives have not come to your rescue, your neighbors are afraid to open their doors for you, but there are people who come to you and ensure that you are taken care of. And that is happening in every corner of this country, and it is being done by so many. For those who are connected to Prashanthi Nilayam, they know where the source is. For all the students and all the devotees who are part of it, they know where they get their energy from. And that is the reason why I always say the most happening place on the planet is Prashanthi Nilayam. Last week I was sharing with you how during these months of April and May, Bhagwan would take students with him and go to Kodaikanal and there teach them lessons of life in a manner that they can never ever erase from their beings, because you are now living with the avatar. You are sleeping in the same house. You are eating with him 4 times a day. You are sitting with him 6-7 sessions a day. You are literally seeing how, when God comes down in human form, how does he walk? How does he talk? How does he respond? How does he conduct? How does he use every resource? How does he use every resource? And that opportunity Bhagwan gave to few so that they can treasure it, become better, and help others become better. And that is how so many brothers have come forward and shared these moments. There's one brother, Bal Subramanyam Parsuraman. He was fortunate to be a part of the Kodaikanal trip in 1996, and he has also penned down so many of His timeless moments. And as I browse through His writings and His reflections, you only wonder, you only marvel at that enigmatic love that Bhagwan is. I was sharing with you how Swami would send the students for a walk in the morning around the Kodai Lake. And during this time, Swami would go out and give darshan to the waiting devotees. And once darshan is over and the boys return from their walk, Swami would have a session in the ground floor living room. And it is on these occasions that Swami would just be informally talking. He could be talking about a devotee, he could be talking from the scriptures, he could be talking current affairs, he could be talking management, he could be talking statistics, he could be talking economics. And these sessions would be very, very interesting because it would also be interspersed with many interesting quote-unquote miracles that Swami would do. Even as he's explaining a concept, Swami would just from out of nowhere create something just to illustrate. And that would happen every single day. Or if he's just happy with someone, he will just wave his hand and give something. Because miracles are just his nature. Often Swami would say, Meeku ascharyam naku sahajam. This is a surprise for you, this is but natural for me. Just like when we want to give something to someone, we take something from our pocket and give. Swami just waves his hand and gives, that's all. And every day he would distribute gifts. I don't think there is ever a day when he would not give something. Apart from giving his love, there would always be something physical also he would give. Apart from all the wisdom that he would give, there would also be something that you can carry back and show to your near and dear ones, which are memories of this unforgettable opportunity. And when Bhagwan would talk about spiritual concepts, he would make it so simple to understand. Swami would always say that knowledge is like food which has to be digested regularly, and the best way to digest this knowledge is to put it into practice. Otherwise, it will lead to indigestion. Knowledge has to be practiced. How Bhagwan would always say that knowledge, skill, balance, insight, knowledge has to be skilled so that it gives you balance in life. Then you will get insight. Then you will connect with the source and you will be driven by that source. You will become an instrument in his hands. So the students would have the opportunity to have lunch with Bhagwan. And again in the afternoon, they would have the opportunity to spend a session before Bhagwan goes out and spends time with the devotees for darshan. And almost every day, Bhagwan would give a discourse in the bhajan hall where the devotees would have assembled. And there would be days when there will be professional musicians who would offer their music to Bhagwan. Many festivals would fall during this time, the Tamil New Year Day, which every year happens on April 14th, and the Trai Brindavan Anniversary Day, that is on April 26th. So many years, Bhagwan has celebrated these festivals in Kodaikanal, though there have been years also when Swami was in Thrace. In some years, Swami went to Kodaikanal after the Thrace Vrindavan anniversary day, or he came back. So every year is a mystery. But there would always be Narayan Seva when Bhagwan was in Kodaikanal. He would serve all the people of the valley with food, with clothes. And on many days, Swami would go to devotees' homes. Swami would take all the students and go to some devotees' homes for lunch. He would take the students out for a picnic as well. It has happened in some years. He would send the students to go for shopping. He would give them money and he would tell them, go and buy gifts for your families. And once they come back, he would ask each one, what did they buy? And each student would say what they bought for their mother or their father or their sister. And Swami would make his comments, and Swami would compliment, Swami would advise, Swami would congratulate, Swami would guide. In 1996, the students spent 27 such golden days with him. And as this brother who has documented this writes, at every possible opportunity, Swami showered so much of his love, not just once or twice, it was a continuous outpouring of love. And it just made me think, do I ever deserve anything? Just because he talks and spends time with us, we tend to look at him as Swami. We tend to think of him as just someone like us. And that is the play that the Lord plays. He is the creator. We came from him and we have to go back to him. But sometimes we get lost. And when he comes down in this human form many times, you don't realize what you are blessed with. This brother says, all I know is Swami literally practiced the message that he asked all of us every time to do. And that is, start the day with love, spend the day with love, fill the day with love, end the day with love. This is the way to God, as Swami used to say, and this is the way God lived his life. Many times we think that man proposes, God disposes. We think that we make our plans, but God determines how it will turn out. But when we look at our own lives, we think we have made plans. When things turn out the way we expect them to, then we congratulate ourselves and we say, see how I planned. And when something does not go the way we planned, then you say, oh, God didn't want it. I don't know why. You know, how could this happen? But what we forget is nothing happens with our will. And though it might seem that we have been making our plans, but it is always him behind, and everything happens as per our karma, as per our faith, as per our surrender. The Lord just gives us that joy sometimes because of his grace, to make us feel that we have been able to do a particular thing or being successful in our plan. But everything was done and continues to be done by him. As this brother was saying, I don't know what plans can you make when you have to go with the Lord. Because everything was provided for him, provided for by him. As they were going in the bus, it was filled with fruits and snacks and water. And once they were on the way, actually even before the journey started, Swami called two senior students and gave them enough money and said they should use this money for refueling the diesel tank of the bus during the journey. And Swami said, don't allow any devotees or any VIPs to refuel the tank. Use this money and you do it yourself. And the bus had to be refueled in Salem midway, where the students had stopped for lunch. But these senior students, they were so lost in being with Swami, and it happens when you're with Swami, you forget this yourself, you lose a sense of time and space. And these students actually forgot to refuel the diesel tank. But somebody else took care and refueled the tank silently without even informing Bhagwan or informing the students. And in fact, after the students arrived in Kodai, Swami called the senior students and Swami said, what did you do with that money? I gave you for what purpose? So even when we forget to follow our instructions, follow the directions, he's still there. He still silently is working behind the scenes. And he still continues to lift us. After the students reach Kodai, Swami would, the next day itself, Swami would give toothbrush, toothpaste, shaving cream, blades, razor, everything. He would give sleeping bags. Then another day it would be cameras, sunglasses, calculators in those days, headbands, everything. Everything that you can think of that is needed for your stay there and something that you can preserve as a memento. What strikes you and continuously will leave you to reflect on is the amount of selflessness that you see, O Bhagwan, every day. You will never see Swami eat beyond one or two spoonfuls of food, but he would have arranged fabulous food sessions for you. He would not wear anything except the robe and a dhoti. There is nothing on his body, but he will keep creating rings and chains and watches and giving everyone. He's constantly planning for others. And the lesson that you learn is the more selfless you are, the better you are. The more selfish you are, you end up carrying more luggage. And you make your travel not a pleasure but a displeasure. Less luggage, more comfort makes travel a pleasure. You watch that when you live with Bhagwan, the more selfless you are, the happier you are. The more selfish you are, the narrower is your zone of happiness. And you see that how Bhagwan is so jubilant, so full of energy, so fresh every day. He's just so happy to give. Limitless joy. And the devotees would be there craving for darshan every single day. And darshan is such a thing. If you have had it once, you want it once again. If you have had it twice, you want it for the third time. If you have sat on the first line for 4 days, on the fifth day also you want to sit. And that is the magic, the magnetic power of the divine. And you continuously pray to fill your eyes with his majestic form. We don't know whether we will get the chance to sit in the first row every day, but you pray and wish that it happens. There was one devotee who was so intensely praying for Bhagwan's darshan that intensity was so much that that one darshan that he had of Bhagwan was enough. That liberated him. He merged at Bhagwan's feet. That was the intensity. And that is the intensity that can give us instant merger. Swami would always say, if you come for my darshan, always find a quiet corner after my darshan where you may enter the stillness and receive the completion of my blessings. My energy goes out from me as I pass by you. If you proceed to talk with others, this precious energy is dissipated and it returned to me unused by you. Rest assured that whatever my eyes see becomes vitalized and transmuted. Know that you are being changed day by day, and this is what happens every time we are having darshan, every time we are sitting in Sai Kulwant Hall, every time we are sitting in a bhajan session, every time we feel his presence, every time we are in a spiritual gathering and we feel the power of Bhagwan, every time we are sitting in the puja room and our eyes overflow with love for him, every time we see him and we connect to him deeply, every time we see him in our mind's eye, we are having that darshan. And his energy is enveloping us. And we have to become quiet. And we have to preserve this precious energy. Otherwise, it will just go back to him, not utilized by us. When you are physically with Bhagwan, you see all of this in such a vivid manner that every second you are awakened. But you have to prepare yourself for that awakening. Even simple physical things, you would see Bhagwan, how perfect he is. You would never see Swami with a crumpled robe. You would never see Swami when he is not presentable. And that is how it was also for all the devotees. Every day you went for darshan, you were always trying to be at your best. And how beautiful it is every day we think like that, and every day we are at our best. How would it be if today we are going for darshan? How we prepare ourselves? We ensure that our nails are cut, we ensure our hair is combed, we ensure we are wearing a proper dress, and we ensure that our mind is in the proper frame of mind to absorb that grace. And if every day when we go into our puja room, every day we go to the bhajans, every day we go out and serve, every day we go out to our office and do our thing, if we feel that we are today going to see Swami, today Swami is seeing me, and if we can have that kind of a feeling, every day will become a celebration. Every day we will experience his omnipresence. Every day we will see how he is connecting the dots. Every day we will experience how so beautifully he is working behind the scenes. Every day we will see perfection in action. And one person, one being who was always in this state of perfect communion was that exemplary devotee, a paragon of divine intimacy, Bhagwan's pet elephant, Sai Geeta. Just a few days ago, it was her anniversary. May 22nd, 2007 is when Sai Geeta merged at Bhagwan's feet, and that was a moment that perhaps history has never seen before. It was a moment which is absolutely unique in the saga of Sri Satyasai Avatar, when the Lord himself was there for 12 to 14 hours in the hot sun, 12 to 14 hours during the day, from morning 7 till evening 7, Swami was there to see Sai Gita being laid to permanent rest in the Sai Gita shed. Bhagwan was never there at the funeral of any devotee. No devotee has had that privilege, not even the earthly parents of Bhagwan, but for Sai Gita, Swami was there. He went in the last moment, he created Vibhuti, put it into her mouth, and he wanted to be there, supervise the entire session. And on the 13th day, Swami wanted to do Narayan Seva himself. He went to the Gokulam, he himself fed the cows with fruits and apples and bananas. And it is the story of that Sai Gita who always knew if Swami started from Mandir, even though she was 2 kilometers away. That is how powerful her connect with Bhagwan was, and who always was excited when she was being taken to Mandir. Those were the days she would be just waiting to rush. If she knows that today I'm going to see Swami, the mouth is going to take me to Mandir, she would be all ready to be decked up. And once Bhagwan comes, the tears would start. That is how one pointed our connect with Bhagwan should be. And that is the reason why, no matter what was the occasion, Swami always wanted Sai Gita to be leading the procession. Almost like a leader, he wanted all of us to know. When it comes to the procession of the divine, the leader is Sai Gita. And he had the home for Sai Gita right in front of the boys' hostel, just to let everyone every day remind themselves of what kind of devotion they should be having for the divine. There are so many such powerful moments that this month of May makes us reflect upon, and I remember the year 2007 when Swami just cut short his Kodai trip and came back just to be with her. Nobody had any idea why Swami suddenly came to Prashanthi Nilayam from Kodaikanal. People always have seen Swami return to Bengaluru, Vrindavan, and come to Prashanthi Nilayam in June, but that year everything changed. Suddenly Swami cut short his plans, and how can we ever understand the acts of the Cosmic One? Only later, with a lot of reflection, we begin to connect some dots. And it is always so, so incomplete. So the journey with Bhagwan to Kodaikanal was always packed with such powerful moments. And in this month of May, when the students had this opportunity to be with Bhagwan, they got a glimpse of what Bhagwan is. Swami would say that many of you are under the mistaken notion that all my materializations have worldly significance. Swami said, these materializations, they are just to enable you to ascend to a bright and ideal future. It is only to create pious thoughts in you. It's only to connect me to you. And Swami would give such beautiful opportunities to students to practice and offer themselves. Whenever you practice what Bhagwan wants you to practice, you will see that he would be encouraging you. He would be holding your hand. He would be ensuring that as you put one step, you should be able to put another step with confidence. And that is how every spiritual master is. They are like mothers. Their love is, as Swami used to say, 1,000 mothers. Once when Bhagwan was traveling with the students in the bus, he sat in the front seat on the left-hand side by the window, and everyone was standing around him as close as possible. And Swami's car was in the front, and all the devotees on the road, they were folding their hands and offering their salutations to that empty car. They had no idea Swami's in the bus, and Swami told, "See, look at them. They are thinking that I am sitting in the car, whereas I am sitting here with all of you." The empty car gets still, empty car still gets all the salutations. Why? Because it is associated with God. When you are with God, you are automatically a hero, even though God is not in that car. Because that car has been associated with God, it is getting all the salutations and the respects. If you are with God, you will be a hero. Otherwise, you are a zero. And these lessons would come so seamlessly from Bhagwan. One Swami created a huge diamond stone, the size of a Kohinoor diamond. And Swami asked everyone, "How is it? How is it?" And everyone was looking at that diamond with their eyes and mouth wide open. And Swami was like a little child. He was asking, "How is it? How is it?" It's like how a little one who draws something will ask, you know, "Do you like it? How is it?" And he was like that. Because God is very childlike. On another day, Swami created a huge gold chain, and this chain had 1,008 rings, and he just showed it to all. So these creations keep happening in Kodaikanal every day. Swami, on another occasion, he created the ring that was gifted by Mother Sita's father to Lord Rama. It was a ring made of sapphire. On another day, it was a ring that was worn by Lord Rama, a huge diamond ring that was gifted by King Dasharatha to Lord Rama. Swami described about the marriage of Rama and Sita and how Lakshmana came and fell at the feet of Rama, and how Sita took that opportunity and garlanded Rama, and the marriage happened. And as he narrated this, Swami materialized this beautiful Chudamani that was worn by Mother Sita, a huge pink stone encased in gold. It was the same jewel that Hanuman brought back as proof of having met Mother Sita when he came back from Lanka. So all these beautiful moments that you can never ever experience for all the wealth of the world or all the connections or the networking that you have in the world. Because it can come only from the one who has created everything. And as he creates all these beautiful moments, beautiful ornaments, and recreates some of these amazing chapters of his glorious saga. As you watch these materializations, you many times forget the hand that created it. And then when you think deeply, is only that Chudamani or that ring created by Bhagwan? Is not everything around his creation? Just we are in so much in awe when we look at, oh, something Swami waved his hand and created. But the truth is, everything we feel, we smell, we touch, we hear, everything is his creation. Somehow we don't give that same level of importance. We take it for granted. And today we know how we can never take anything for granted. Can we really plan anything? These are times when we don't know whether you should do your financial planning for next 20 years, 15 years. You don't know whether you will be alive tomorrow. Tomorrow you don't know who is going to be there day after, who is not going to be there. Who you don't know in what state you will be. Can we take anything for granted? Can we take our wealth, our near and dear ones, our profession? Can we take anything for granted? Is that not his gift? And that is the lesson. In fact, Bhagwan once told the students when they were so lost in looking at that creation, Swami said, you are forgetting the hand that created it. And that is what happens. We get a particular achievement or we get something that we want, and that is a beautiful gift that Bhagwan gives, and we get so enamored with that, we forget how that came. We think we got it and we get lost in it. So happy with our promotion, we forget who made that promotion happen. So happy with that marriage, we forget who made that connection happen. And these are moments when you learn to not take anything for granted. And when you live with the divine, these moments become more and more pronounced. In Kodaikanal, one opportunity that the students would often get is to perform music in front of Bhagwan. Swami always loved sacred music, and the students would prepare and sing for him, play different instruments for him. And even though everyone, when it comes to music, is an amateur, Swami would give all the opportunities to these little musicians. Even though the greatest of the musicians would be pining for a chance to play for him, he would give chance to these students. Perhaps what matters to him is not that talent, but that sincerity. Perhaps what matters to him is that heart and our karma. So there would be these informal music sessions without mics. They would perform in front of Bhagwan, and often Swami would take the cymbals, the thalam, and he would start playing. So in the year 1996, when they were ready for the program, so Swami asked, what would you sing? They said, Swami, we will sing Sri Rama Ramani Manohara. This is one kriti that Swami himself used to sing, a Telugu song. So they sang that, and Swami made corrections to the lyrics, to the pronunciation, and this went on till the singer got it right. Then Swami said, it'll be nice if two singers sing this. So there will be all these divine advice from the master musician. The next song they sang was Rama Kodanda Rama, Saint Tyagaraja's composition. Again, Bhagwan has sung this himself so many times. And Swami joyfully was playing the cymbals. Shiva 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 Yanarada, a song that Swami himself had composed, in which is packed his message in a very, very powerful manner. Swami would often say that this one song is enough for you to know my message. And because these songs were in different scales, this brother who was playing violin, he had to keep tuning his violin accordingly. And Swami said, why do you do this? Why don't you pick up songs which have the same scale? When we are performing in front of Bhagwan, there cannot be a loose moment. There cannot be breaks. And that is something that you learn when you are doing something for the divine. It has to be as seamless and as perfect as it can be. And when they tried to play something that was not spiritual, Swami said, oh, this is so short. It did not interest him. And then when they went back to a Western piece, which needs a lot of different instruments, Swami said, you should have a lot more accompaniments for this. When they sang Ramanila Meka Shyama, Swami was very happy. When they sang an English song, Thank You Swami, he stopped the singer after every line and he taught him how to sing with proper emotion and intonation. Made the singer repeat the lines a couple of times till he got it perfectly. And then there was this student who picked up courage and told Swami, there is an English song on Lord Ganesha. Come, O bulky stomach, O Ganpati, you are the son of Shiva Parvati, riding a rat too, belting a serpent too. And so on it goes, a very peppy, joyful song on Lord Krishna, on Lord Ganesha. And Swami started smiling as he heard this, Come, O bulky stomach, O Ganpati. So these are those informal moments that students, even as they performed in front of Bhagwan, they kept learning those lessons about how they should do their homework well. And the next time they got this opportunity, they had done their homework very well. And Bhagwan, being Gana Priyadu, Swami gave them opportunity once again to perform. And on this occasion, this brother played on the violin, Vatapi Ganapatim, and Swami was playing the talam for the entire song. And then Swami asked, do you have anything in rag Bhairavi? And this brother had not practiced anything. He had not learned that raga. Swami said, okay, so what are you going to play next? He said, Swami, I'll play Banturi Tiko Koluvu. And Swami said, okay. And he played that song at a fast pace so that it would lift the spirit of the program. And Swami was playing cymbals and keeping pace with that. And then after that, when the brother moved on to Ilayaraja's composition, How to Name It. Now, this is an orchestra-based song that actually requires a lot more instruments. And there, they didn't have anything. Generally, this is performed by 40 to 50 violins with a lead violin and a lot of background music. And so when the brother played this, while playing one of the higher octave lines in the second paragraph, he missed hitting the top note by a whisker. Swami immediately stopped him and said, you have to place your finger a bit higher on the fingerboard for it to sound better, Swami told the violin player. When he was going out of Shruti, Swami immediately corrected him. And Swami waited for him to play that note properly. And then Swami said, see, for this song, you should have a harmonium, tabla, mridangam. You need a very big group for this. And the boy said, yes, Swami, this is an orchestra-based composition. So these are moments which you would not get otherwise. But every time you are with the Lord, you would see how he is so perfect and how he would goad you to reach that stage and how you have to be prepared because you won't get these opportunities again and again. You have to always be ready. He asked for Rag Bhairavi. You should have known that. You have to pray that you are all the time ready for whatever he is assigning you. You can't know everything, but if your prayer is right, he will give the ability and the opportunity. So every moment that was spent with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal was such a moment where there were these powerful lessons that he was giving. And that is the reason why being with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal is just heaven. I will give you a glimpse of this brother's violin who had the opportunity to play in the physical presence of Bhagwan in Kodaikanal and on so many occasions. And as you listen to this, please contemplate on everything that I have described. Contemplate on those beautiful moments of sitting around Bhagwan, playing this, listening to this, interacting with him, seeing him play the cymbals. Enjoy the bliss of being with him and make your life a melody of his mercy. I will leave you with this beautiful rendering by Brother Balasubramanyam Parasuraman. And we'll continue this in the coming episodes. As always, if you have any queries, you can write to listener@ssmediacenter.org or you can send us on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. I offer this little endeavor at his lotus feet with all humility and gratitude. Sairam.